with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Lombardi Line rolls on in hour two. This show is always presented by DraftKings alongside former NFL executive, Super Bowl champ Michael Lombardi. Stormy Bonantoni with you. Coming up this hour, we'll get lots of college hoops talk in. Tate Frazier of the One Shining Podcast is going to stop by like he has every week of the tournament. We'll get some picks out from Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast as well. But Michael, we're starting off this hour with the big news of the day in the National Football League that Stephon Diggs evidently is on his way to Houston to join the Texans offense that is already continuing to be bolstered, it feels like, by the minute with all the talent surrounding C.J. Stroud and a great defense to support the young quarterback as well. But Stephon Diggs on his way out of Buffalo.
Well, we know Houston spent the most money, second most money of any team last year. They'll easily have spent the most money improving their team this year. But I think the real question that has to get asked, Stormy, is how bad is the relationship between Diggs and his team for them to be willing to take a mediocre pick in 2026, yeah, which is a two, and give back picks and a $31 million cap hit? Like, how bad can it be? It, you know, and the answer is it had to be really bad, right? It had to be, you know, in my book, Football Done Right, I break down trades. And when I break down these trades, there's a reason for a trade. You know, we're one player away. You know, we don't think the player's very good. But there's also the category, just get this guy out of the building. Mm. And this is a get this guy out of the building. Because you don't eat $31 million. Tre'Davious White, they ate $19 million of cap room. But that was injury related. And I don't think Buffalo thinks that he could match that contract. Now, the Rams signed him for less, and maybe he can. But this is get the guy out of the building. We don't care what it costs. Russell Wilson, get him out of the building. We don't care what it costs. I mean, these are two of the most significant contracts that were just done 2 years ago that are out there in the open market. Yeah. I mean, think about that. Like, where is anybody's long-range thinking? Like, Denver had no reason to reduce Russell Wilson's contract, nor did Buffalo have any reason to reduce Stephon Diggs' contract other than to try to make him happy. And what happens? You can't make him happy.
Yeah, Michael, I think you've said it numerous times on the show before. The worst trade you can do is the get him out of the building trade, and that's exactly what's happening with here with Stephon Diggs. So as you look at the Buffalo Bills' big picture right now, where they offload all of these guys, including Tre'Davious White among those, in their efforts to get under the salary cap, now they add another massive dead cap move, which, by the way, is the highest known dead money charge ever for a wide receiver in any season, according to ESPN Stats and Information. What do you think of the Buffalo Bills moving forward as it pertains to their Super Bowl window? And you mentioned it before we started off this hour. Sean McDermott specifically is the head coach of this team. How much pressure is he under?
Well, I mean, clearly they made a strategical decision. They want to be a 12 personnel team. When they drafted Kincaid last year in the bottom of the first, they got themselves, you know, for lack of a better term, a big slot receiver, right? They want to be a 12 team because, let's face it, they play in Buffalo. They play in Lake Erie. The weather's not conducive. You've got to have physicality. You've got to run the ball. It's great to be an 11 team, but if you can't run the ball like Kansas City showed that they could do after Christmas, you're going to have some trouble. I don't care about all the analytical numbers saying you have to throw. I get it. I want to throw to score too, but you got to have some toughness with your team. And for me, when they drafted Kincaid, they were saying we're going to be a 12 team. And now they're saying, okay, we can replace, and I know no fan will agree with this, but what they're going to say to you is Mac Hollins, as a vertical outside receiver, can do all the things that Gabe Davis did at one-tenth of the cost, which I would agree with. Mac Hollins, if you watch him 2 years ago playing for the Raiders, made a ton of plays as the vertical outside receiver. Now, he's not throwing the ball in third and seven. He's not going to draw coverage. But if you leave him alone out there one-on-one, this guy can beat somebody down the field and win. That replaces Davis. Now, they signed Curtis Samuel to replace what they were getting out of Diggs, which was 11 yards a catch at a third of the cost. So for me, I'm like, and now they have the draft. And so I think what they're saying is it's not all going to be bad. It's not going to be bad. Now, they've lost a lot of guys. They've lost 15 players off their team, mostly on defense. That's where I'm mostly concerned with their team.
The Bills to add a wide receiver with their first pick in the draft. They are selecting at number 28 is $3 now for them to try to get one of what is considered a very good wide receiver class here. In terms of the odds, there was a little bit of movement for the Bills side of things. They go from 11-1 to 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. AFC East plus 115 to plus 160, and their win total, while it remains at 10, the under was a plus money price at plus 120. Now it's minus 120. And on the Houston front, their odds to make the playoffs get juiced even higher from minus 140. Those expectations even bigger to minus 190. That 9.5 win total from minus 110 to minus 140. And the Super Bowl odds cut down from 25-1 to 17-1. Odds with teams that have been considered contenders the last couple years in the Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles. So significant moves improving the odds on Houston and dumbing them down for Buffalo. So this is a move that moves the needle, whereas a lot of them often don't.
Well, here's what I will say. Mixon wasn't the same player for Cincinnati. Diggs wasn't the same player for Buffalo. Like, before we go and give them the Super Bowl trophy, let's make sure they signed three. Danielle Hunter was great last year, but he's had moments where he's had back injuries. Like, yes, they've done a lot of good things in Houston, and I think they clearly have put their money on the middle of the table and gone all in. You know, now they haven't talked to Robert Saleh yet to decide if they can, because he controls the AFC. But the reality of it is you know, they're taking some risk here too, taking on $18.5 million of his contract. He's been a problem. I mean, again, if you're willing to take on $31 million of a cap hit for a guy you just redid his contract, things must have gone really bad. And he hasn't played as well in 2 years, right? I know he had averaged 11 yards a catch last year. That's not great for as many times he got the ball. Now, they lost 92 first downs between Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs. They got to replace those 92 mm-hmm. first downs. That's going to be the challenge. Can they? We'll see. I'm more concerned about their defense. Houston, 12 new faces on defense, Stormy. They've really done a nice job of repairing the defense. They've got faster at linebacker. They got two better defensive players in Hunter and Autry inside. So I think they've done more defensively, although the offense will get all the attention. But defensively, I think it's where they've improved their team.
Okay, Michael, at the end of hour one, you let me get on my soapbox and talk about all of the big topics that are on my mind. What is on Michael's mind today? What's been racking through your brain over the last 24 hours?
Well, it would have been Diggs, but it didn't happen when they asked me the question. But I will say, when I was asked the question this morning, what's on my mind is, let's not overreact to the player visitations. Okay. Right? And then we're in player visitation mode now. We're the 3rd of April. We've got basically almost 3 weeks to the draft starting tomorrow. We're 22 days out. Teams will bring players back in to give them a physical, to spend time with them. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're drafting them. That could mean they could be an option. That could mean they could trade down. That could mean they need more medical. It could mean a lot of different things. But it's never going to mean we're taking this guy, because nobody wants to show their cards. And when I was in the league, what you really wanted to look at on these 30 visits is, what players were they bringing in that were off the beaten track? Those are the ones that they're interested in. Guys who didn't go to the combine, they need medicals on them, right? Guys they worked out that they liked. You're going through that list. Oh, wait a minute. They got this guy from Wisconsin Appleton they brought in. Why would they do that? They must like him. Better go watch tape on him. That's what you're looking for. The cop guys that are coming in, yeah, we're going to go out to dinner with them and spend time with them, but it's a meet and greet. But you really want to nail it down in terms of the medical and the intelligent factor that you couldn't get with a 15-minute interview.
Yeah, Malik Nabers visited the Cardinals yesterday, Chargers today, Marvin Harrison Jr. with the Cardinals today, Roma Dunze set to meet with the Bears and Jets this week. And so you hear these things, automatically the wheels start turning in your mind, and where can I maybe make a bet on XYZ player right now? But these meetings don't always mean something. Michael, have you ever had one of those meetings, though, with a top 30 visit, and as soon as you walked that kid walked out the door, you're like, no way? Or is it usually somebody
where you do?
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you do all the time. It's like, okay, wait a minute. No, that he just not a fit here. Doesn't mean he's a bad kid. He's not a fit here. You know, and some of them are top-rated guys, and some of them have gone on to have good careers. Some have gone on to have problems in the league, too. But sometimes, you know, I think what the players don't realize is the team is spying on them the minute they pick them up at the airport. You know, what are they doing? Who do they call? You know, when we were in New England, are they in Providence going to the nightclubs down there when we leave them back at the hotel? What are they doing? Like, that gives you a portrait into who the player is. And sometimes the guys are so immature that they don't realize that every move they make is being documented. What they say in the car, what they talk about in the car, who they call in the car. I mean, I can remember interviewing a player at the Raiders and he had three phones. And I'm like, well, what do you have three phones for? Well, you know, this one's for my girlfriend. This one's for, you know, somebody else. And this one's for my other girlfriends. Like, how do you even know? Like, wait a minute. How can you keep track of that? Like, it's just really, you could write a book. Like, I always said this all the time. If that TV show Arliss would have been around some of this situations, they would have never gone off the air. There's too many good stories out there.
So I want to ask you, as it pertains to the wide receiver specifically, because we talk about those wideout visits that are coming up. The Bills, now a team that all of a sudden probably wasn't looking for a wide receiver in the first round, might be. The prop for wide receivers in the first round is 6.5. And it stayed at 6.5. The number has come down a bit from +170 to +125. But do you feel like we are actually going to get a flurry of wideouts in the first round this year?
I think you got to hope that somebody in the Franklin, Mitchell, Polk, you know, McConkey group goes in the first round, and I think that's too much of a stretch, right? I mean, right now we know there's three that are going to go in the first. And then you got Brian Thomas from LSU. You feel pretty good. That's four. And then Coleman from Florida State. Do you think he's going to go? That's five. Tell me who the next one is. See, that's the problem you get into. There's five.
Did you say Worthy? Xavier Worthy?
Will somebody reach? It could be, but, you know, I don't think that's the case. He might not even be the best receiver on Texas team. Mitchell might be.
But he ran a fast 40, Michael, and you know how much we in the fan bases love it.
I know. I know. Al would love that. Yes.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonatoni with you. And the Final Four will be here before we know it. Coming up Saturday in a TBS doubleheader beginning at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Purdue, a 9-point favorite against NC State. UConn laying 12 against Alabama. The largest combined point spread in the Final Four since the early 70s. And to help us talk it all over like he has been every step of the way throughout the NCAA tournament, Tate Frazier joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the Ringer's One Shining podcast. We are just about here, Tate. How are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. It's great to hear you guys' voice and to talk about, you know, we finally did it. We made it to the Final Four. I'm excited to be in Phoenix, flying in on Friday. And despite the point spreads, I'm excited about the storylines, and I think we got four really good teams, so it'll be good.
So yeah, I know you're a Tar Heel through and through, graduate of the school, valedictorian too, Stormy, by the way. I want to know, what was your read on North Carolina State at certain – did you see this coming? Or was your Tar Heel blue too blinded to see the red? But did you see that this team had this much talent?
Well, Lombardi, you know, we all are in the prediction business, so it's always tough to make predictions. I did have NC State in the Elite Eight. I had them losing to Houston. And as we all saw, Jamal Shedd went down, and that kind of changed the trajectory of this Houston team a little bit in the calculus of how far they could go. I really think this NC State team has all the pieces, right? And when you have someone like DJ Burns who can be a cog in the machine and be a big that can, you know, get everybody else involved, I mean, that is a really nice piece. I mean, Kevin Keats has been there for a long time. We joked when, you know, he got the job, he said Kevin Keats in third person is a winner. He has not won too many games there, Lombardi, but it feels like he finally, you know, his premonition or whatever you want to call it finally came through. And NC State fans, I mean, they've won two national championships, but in my lifetime, I've never seen them in the Final Four. So, you know, I'm very happy. I got a lot of family that went to NC State, so I'm happy for them. And they're a team that I think is scary because, I mean, they're playing with nothing to lose and they're playing with house money. And we saw that before in 1983 and they won it all.
Well, as it pertains to your Tar Heels, though, Tate, I, like you, was very disappointed. That was my favorite future that I had in pocket. And in my final four predictions, I did have two one seeds making it. I had North Carolina and Houston, so I just picked the wrong one seeds, apparently, to come out of this whole thing. But because of what you say there with NC State, like, what do you make of this matchup? To your point, they've won all these elimination games. They've been an underdog in seven of their last eight, winning all of them outright. What do you make of this matchup specifically with Purdue and how they can go head to head?
Yeah, I think it's the battle of the bigs, right? I mean, it's DJ Burns versus Zach Edey. I think that'll be very interesting to see the conditioning of DJ Burns. I think it's going to be tested against Edey. If Edey can get him into foul trouble like he's done with every other big, you know, State doesn't have the depth, right? They're playing a seven-man rotation. Ben Middlebrooks, who is Danny Cannell's nephew, as we've all learned throughout the tournament run, he's pretty much the only guy behind Burns that can really bang in the post and be a body for them. So if State gets in foul trouble, I think it goes sideways very quickly. So protecting DJ Burns as best they can is a really big deal for NC State in this game. And if Purdue's others, right? I mean, it's hard to shoot in a dome. Shooting in those big football arenas, as you both know, is really tough. So if Purdue's others don't show up and they don't shoot the ball well from the outside and it's basically Edey, you need to go get us 40 points, I think that falls into favor of what, you know, NC State wants to do in this game. So I think there's ways that it could work out where NC State could you know, make a run and keep the magic going. But all signs point to Purdue winning this game. And, you know, I it's hard for me to find a reason why they won't win this game. But we've seen a lot of wildness in March and a lot of, you know, madness, as we like to call it. So I wouldn't be shocked if NC State can continue the madness in this tournament.
Let me ask you this, Dave Frazier, as it relates to this game. Can North Carolina State get Edey into foul trouble? I mean, is that something they can do? I know, because to me, the big fella looks like, you know, I don't know how you get him in foul trouble. I think he's more than willing to, he wants to win early and keep you out of the post, but I don't think he's going to challenge many shots.
Yeah, Lombardi, he didn't pick up his first foul in the Elite Eight game until 9:40 to play in the game. So, I mean, I've never seen a big be able to avoid fouls like he is. I mean, he's elite. That's probably one of his best skills. I talk to people all the time. They're like, why is Zach Edey so amazing? Why is he, you know, this and that? And I say it's basically ref pressure and rim pressure, right? He has a lot of ref pressure because he gets fouled pretty much on every play because you have to body him. You have to, you know, get into him. I mean, you look at Toby Awaka for Tennessee. I mean, he's got an arm bar in his back for 15 seconds one possession, and they don't call a foul until after 15 seconds of him doing it. So, Edey has a lot of pressure that he puts on the officials, and he does a good job of getting out of the way. Like, he'll give you 2 points just to preserve himself and not pick up a foul. And that just, you know, is the moxie. And I think Matt Painter's done a really good job of letting him know when to pick his spots to protect the rim.
Tate Frazier, host of the One Shining podcast via The Ringer, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And Tate, UConn has been about the most dominant tournament team we've seen in a while between what they accomplished last year, winning a national championship and winning all of their games at huge margin this season. Like, obviously, they're the team to beat, but are they unbeatable in your opinion? How do you see things playing out, whether it be the Final Four or the national championship for the Huskies?
I don't think that they're unbeatable. I really don't. And I say that because I've seen them be beat. So I've seen it happen before, Shaheed. Yeah, Shaheen Holloway has done it. Obviously, they're playing in the NIT Championship game, Seton Hall. So, you know, I mean, that's a team that's done it before. But I think it's a team that's familiar with them and is familiar with, like, kind of the identity of their team. And let's be honest, Nate Oates, he has his job in coaching because of Dan Hurley and because of Bobby Hurley. So he knows the Hurley family, and I wouldn't be shocked if Nate Oates has something up his sleeve. He just came on my show, Nate Oates, and you know, it always feels like he knows something that everybody else doesn't know. So I just wanted to flag that. I feel like Alabama could be a tough matchup, especially with Mark Sears. I think Mark Sears has had maybe the best tournament of anybody in the field right now. So Alabama will be a tough matchup for UConn.
Tate Frazier, you know, when I go through the numbers, and I don't follow it like you do, but when I'm watching UConn and then Donovan Klingon comes and they say he only plays 20 minutes and he looks like he's the best player on the court, like, how do they do that? Like, how does he not play all the time? And he's only a sophomore.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been hurt, Lombardi. He's had some foot issues, you know, or specifically with one foot. So he's gotten healthier, and I think that's a big reason why he's been able to play more, but his health is the thing that they're concerned about. And if they can keep him out on the court and not worry about foul troubles, he's the best rim protector probably left in the NCAA tournament. Grant Nelson for Alabama in that conversation as well. But if Klingon can stay on the court, and he doesn't get bogged down from, you know, his feet kind of, you know, getting the worst of him. I think he's a guy that could really make a run for most outstanding player if they win it all.
Well, let's go to the most outstanding player. You look at the odds board and four of the top five players for the honor are all on the UConn Huskies. Who are some names that really stand out to you there?
Yeah, Cam Spencer is one. I mean, I call him the swinger, which, you know, is not that way, but just like he can swing a game in their favor because of his shooting. So Cam Spencer is like basically Dan Hurley on the court. I mean, for lack of a better description. And I think if he gets hot from the outside, that changes the trajectory of how bad they can beat teams. So I put Cam Spencer in the mix. I think Tristan Newton, obviously, who's kind of gotten the credit for, you know, how great they've been all year. So he's one of those guys. I mean, you got three guys on UConn you could argue for. With Tristan Newton, with Donovan Klingon, and with Cam Spencer. And then, who knows, maybe Alex Caravan's in the mix as well. So I think UConn's got four guys you could all make the argument for, but I would personally argue for Tristan Newton. I think he's been great. He gets everybody involved and has done a great job defensively against other guards.
Hey, Tate, before we let you go, I want to go back and talk about Nate Oates. What did he say that you read between the lines that you feel like his strategy will be? Will he just launch threes and figure that we can't get to the rim with Klingman inside?
Are you talking about for Nate Oates?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nate Oates, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, good. All good. I don't know. He had this wry grin about himself, and obviously he knows the Hurleys well, and to be honest, I mean, what he did against North Carolina was genius. You know, he puts Grant Nelson on Elliott Cadeau, who's a freshman who doesn't have a three-point shot yet. And when he does that, it basically makes Carolina decide, okay, do we keep Elliott Cadeau on the floor? Because offensively, we need him to initiate offense. But at the end of the day, if he's going to be left out there and they're going to sag off of him, we're basically playing 4-on-5, right? The old Ben Simmons offense, Lombardi, as you know. So
right.
That was just great scouting, great coaching from Nate Oates. And I feel like he's got something up his sleeve with UConn. I don't know what particularly he has up his sleeve, but he's a good coach and he knows something. I don't know what it is. I'm trying to figure that out myself.
Also, real quickly, because you mentioned Seton Hall, the other Final Four wrapping up yesterday. Do you like anything in the NIT final?
I think I like Seton Hall. I feel like a lot of people are all over our guy Robbie Avila, which fair enough. He's a very likable kid and he's got a great story. But I really like this Seton Hall team. I think Kadarius Richmond is one of my favorite players in college basketball season. He's a triple-double waiting to happen. So I would take Seton Hall, and I'd take Shaheen Holloway there.
Tate, you're awesome. Thanks for doing this with us every week.
Great job,
of course,
Tate Frazier. Thank you,
guys. Of course. Enjoy the Final Four, and I hope you guys have a great show. Thanks for having me
on. You too. Safe travels to Phoenix.
Go to Pizzeria Banco.
Of course. I'll do my best. I appreciate you guys.
There you go. Tate Frazier again. Make sure you check out the One Shining podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And because he seemed highest on Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer in the Most Outstanding Player Award, the odds are +475 for Newton, Spencer 9-1. He also threw out an Alex Caravan 30-1 if you think he can get there ultimately after the national championship. We're going to hit the break. We're wrapping things up midway. We're just midway through. I got ahead of myself. More Lombardi Line when we come back from the commercial break.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonatoni with you. Remember, for a limited time, we are offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at vsin.com/splits. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out action not just for today, future events as well. Take advantage, though. This is, again, a limited time offer. vsin.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2-week access to VSiN betting splits. And joining us now on the show as we continue our hoops conversation, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor on the Progressive guest line. And Harry, Against All Odds, we have some guests today who are at odds, it appears, when it comes to this UConn Alabama game, because we have a couple guests today that are saying, hey, Alabama might have something up their sleeve if they're hitting these three-pointers. Nate Oates knows right. the Hurleys very, very well, all these things. And then you've got me and you that say, UConn, fade them at your own risk because it ain't happening. This team is too good. So give me your sell on the Huskies.
Yeah, you look, you know, there's a, I've seen some a lot of different sites out there that have different types of bet on these Final Four games, not just the spread, but you can do like alternate sort of lines and things. And I've seen a couple, and one that I like, Stormy, and I would imagine that you like this too. Wonder if Michael likes it too. It's a UConn men's to win the two games in the Final Four by 10 points or more. Now that pays plus 215. I mean, I love those odds considering all four games of the tourney have been by 17 or more by Connecticut. They're 10-3 versus tourney teams beating them by 10 or more. And the last 10 games in the tournament have been by 10 or more. Bama, 7 of their 11 losses were by 10 points or more this season. And like you just mentioned, if the Tide can't hit their threes, it could be another crushing by Connecticut.
That's where you are, right? I mean, you got to believe that. And Tate Frazier, we just had on, Harry. I don't know if you heard him, but he was talking about, he talked to Nate Oates, and Nate Oates kind of sounded confident. If you could be confident playing against a team that destroys their opponents all the time. But, you know, they got to be, they're so reliant on the three. I just don't know how you can bet on them to be, to shoot above their mean for 40 minutes.
Well, you know, I don't really like laying this type of point in a tournament like this, in the Final Fours, in a situation like this. I'm not going to lay the points here. I do like that prop bet that I just gave and roll the dice there. But in this game, actually, guys, I do like the over. I like the over 160.5. Bama was the highest scoring team in America at over 90 points per game. The Tide have scored 89 or more in three of their four tourney games so far. Bama scored 89 or more 20 times this season. And UConn is so balanced, so efficient. Newton, Spencer, Klingon have led the Huskies in scoring the last three games. Bama pushes the tempo, something UConn, I think, will be fine with, though, once, you know, the dust clears. And I think there's still going to be a lot of points. Again, I like over 160.5. I'd see this being UConn 90-80, sort of in that range, lands around 170.
Yeah, Alabama, 8th in tempo, 4th in offensive efficiency. You mentioned the over 90 points per game. They can score. They can't defend. A lot of that makes sense to go over the 160 here. But to your point about, like, not laying the number, I'm not saying, because I believe in UConn so much, that I'm like, lay the 12, it's going to happen. That's
right.
That's not what I'm saying either. I'm just saying, take the points at your own risk because of the way that they have been dominating so many teams.
Of course. And you know, real quick, though, I just, okay, yeah. Okay, so say maybe, because Alabama does hit their threes, but UConn pulls this game out, and it is a 90-85 type of game. They win this game by 5, don't cover, and then maybe Purdue can't get anything going from the outside if they play them in the championship game, and they beat Purdue by 25. Well, there, you know, you could understand it. I wouldn't lay the big point in both games.
Go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead, Stuart. Well, I just was going to ask him. He's not laying the points against Purdue, though. He's going to take the points with North Carolina State, right?
I am. I'm going to take the 9.5. I'll take the 9.5 in a Final Four game. DJ Horn and DJ Burns are playing out of their minds for the Wolfpack. Maybe Burns can use his body, push Edie around a bit more than he's accustomed to. Over this 9-game streak, they've been scoring plenty. 8 of the 9 games, the Wolfpack have scored 73 points or more. Makes it even more sense to take the 9.5 here. Purdue shot 20% from 3 in that game against Tennessee. Got a benefit of a lot of calls there to pull that game out. I'm going to take the 9.5 for the Wolfpack.
Also, you'll like this. I've been doing some rudimentary math, addition, subtraction, looking at NC State in terms of them being an underdog 7 of their last 8 games. By an average of 6.5 points per game, yet they've won each of those games outright by an average of 10.5 points per game. So anybody who has interest on the money line because they have been winning so much, just earmuffs over there, producer Elliot. Don't worry about it. Pretend I'm not saying this. Plus 340, the price there. Let's go to the women's tournament because all eyes have been on the star power of this tournament, Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Now she's taken on Paige Beckers and UConn. South Carolina's been as dominant as any team we can remember in the sport. You're doing a little parlay action, though, with these Final Four games. Talk us through it.
Yeah, let's do this. You know, I'm going to add this. I'm going to do South Carolina. How about this one? South Carolina moneyline, Iowa moneyline, and I'm going to add the UConn men's moneyline on that. Pays plus 105. 10 straight double-digit wins for the UConn men. So I think they get it done against Alabama, like we just mentioned a little bit. Dawn Staley, South Carolina squad, with basically a new starting five from last year, an amazing team, undefeated. South Carolina 4-0 versus the ACC in this season. And in those four wins, they've won those by about 140 points. So give me South Carolina money line. And I'm going to take Iowa money line as well. Caitlin Clark, you can't stop her. You can only hope to contain her, really. Right, Michael? I mean, like, she's amazing. Everyone wants
to. Yeah.
They're one seed. And made it to the championship last year. Couldn't get it done. I think they win this game, too.
All right, so let's talk about Caitlin Clark, Iowa, if she has to play South Carolina. Stormy kind of gave a layout that everybody's sleeping on South Carolina. Would you be inclined to take the points in Iowa? Because they're going to be the dog against South Carolina for sure. Would you take the points in that situation?
I'll tell you, I'll be all in on that game. That would be a great game to watch. I mean, because Oregon State, who was a 3 seed against South Carolina, gave them all they could handle. I mean, it was a 5-6 point game in the fourth quarter. So Oregon State was game against South Carolina. South Carolina, a couple games lately have been somewhat close compared to what they're normally used to. But I still think overall here, South Carolina stays undefeated. They win the women's championship, and I cashed my plus 650 ticket I made on that, by the way, in November.
Good for you, because they're a $2 favorite now, South Carolina, to win it all at this point. But yeah, I keep thinking, as much as like Iowa has gotten the hype, and deservedly so, Caitlin Clark is amazing. This season has been historic for so many reasons, single season and just career-wise what she's accomplished. But like, people for some reason are forgetting that South Carolina is an odds-on $2 favorite to win it all. They are as dominant as can be. They're the only undefeated team in the country. Mm-hmm. And But Iowa is the one team, though, that can say they did beat South Carolina in the tournament last year, and maybe that can give them a little bit of confidence. But I don't know. I like the Gamecocks. I think that they're going to be hard just because of how much power they have from every position on the floor, whereas it's the Caitlin Clark show more than anything else with Iowa. You do have, before we let you go, Harry, a little baseball action for us today. What are you looking at in the MLB slate this afternoon?
Yeah, let's go tonight. We're going to go Giants-Dodgers. I'm going to go. Maybe it's crazy. I'm just crazy taking an under when we're talking about a Dodger team that just like is loaded from top to bottom, obviously. But I'm going to go under 8 tonight, guys, at minus 104. I'm going to roll with 2-year starter Kyle Harrison of the Giants. Last year, he went 10 innings in 2 starts against the Dodgers, gave up just 2 earned runs on only 3 hits. And Harrison got the win in his first start of the season versus the Padres. And I'm going to go bank on Tyler Glasnow, too. Came over from the Rays. Last 2 starts versus San Fran, 12 innings for him. Only 1 earned run. Has a solid 2.45 ERA this season after 2 starts. So give me Harrison and Glasnow of the Giants and Dodgers. I'm going to go under 8, guys.
Love it, Harry. Awesome. And what's your opening for L.A.? What do you think he'll play? Are you going to the L.A. show tomorrow?
Ooh.
I think I am. I'm waiting for the go. I'm waiting for the go ahead. I'll tell you what. If I know he's been a couple times, been playing night here and there too, and lonesome day. I don't know. I don't know what he did. What do you think?
Well, I mean, something in the night was brilliant, but I thought he was great on Curb the other night. So he's got a career in acting, I think ahead of him.
He was unbelievable on Curb.
Hey, Harry, what's your airline miles situation like? I imagine it's got to be just insurmountable.
It's actually, believe it or not, my buddy, he's mine, Sal's, and buddy from college, and he's my boss as well. So that's my other side job. I'm kind of his assistant. So whenever he says go, I go, and we take off to wherever we go to. So
what
it's
a life.
Be a blast.
What
yeah,
a life.
Thursday, we should be there Thursday. Should be there tomorrow, Michael. Should be.
You're awesome, Harry. Have fun. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks, Harry.
Awesome, guys. See ya. Thanks.
Harry Gagnon, follow him on X at AAO Harry, and check out the Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal wherever you get your podcast. Great stuff from him. And I like that pizza money bet. That's not an all-in bet to take the UConn Huskies to win by 10-plus in each of the next 2 games. But at plus 215, who doesn't like a little sprinkle? Speaking of which, why not Wednesday coming up when we return on the Lombardi Line?
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's never been a better time to have skin in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, because right now we have a VSiN exclusive for new DK customers when you use our promo code Lombardi. Earn a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager with the code, up to $2,500 in bonus bets your first 3 days on DraftKings. Don't wait. Download the app now. Use that code Lombardi when you sign up. That earns you a $500 bonus bet for every $1,000 you wager right now.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Ooh, what do we have in store today?
Oh, what do you got in store? I didn't even look.
It's some good stuff, Michael. Get ready. Buckle up.
I didn't even look.
We're going to look at a number of plus money props that we're going to see if it can make you tilt your head and say why not. Starting with this Alabama-UConn matchup, because Tate Frazier, host of the One Shining podcast, he came on the program and said when he talked to Nate Oates, it looked like he had something up his sleeve for this UConn Huskies team. Mm-hmm. Could you say why not, Michael? Yep. To the Alabama Crimson Tide winning straight up on the money line, plus 525.
Surprisingly, Stormy, I'm going to say why not to that. Now, I would say pizza money only because, look, one thing we've learned in the tournament, right? One thing we've learned watching the tournament is you do not have to play your best game for seven games. You only have to play it once. And David and Goliath's a powerful story. And just hypothetically say Alabama gets hot. You know, why not? I mean, it's there, right? It's there for the taking. I thought they showed great toughness down the stretch. I could say why not to that at $5.25 for a dollar. I mean, that's a pretty good price. Okay. I don't think it could happen, but it's not. I wouldn't say it's like, oh, no way. Why not, Stormy?
Alabama. It's not for me. I told you, I just think UConn's too good, and I don't believe in donating to the sportsbook if I can help it. But Alabama is 15-1 this season when they've made 12 or more from range. I just feel like they used up all of their three-pointers against Clemson with the 16 that they drained, and we've got to move on from that.
Okay.
Now, you'll love this one, Michael. Your boy Joel Embiid ended up on the floor last night against OKC. He's got 24 points. They win the game. But I know already you're not a believer, so I'm not going to throw out that 13-1 to win the Eastern Conference. I know better than that. Could you say why not to a 6-1 for the 76ers to miss the playoffs? They lose in the play-in and they're out.
Oh, why not on that? I'm all in on that. Oh, hell yeah. Sign me up. Sign me up on that. Yeah. They're going to lose the play-in. I mean, he's already said that, you know, it was the hardest injury to overcome. Mentally, I'm shaken. Oh, yeah, sign me up for that bad boy. Here I come. Don't give me this, oh, they're going to come back and win. No. I mean, they beat OKC last night. That was great. OKC is a good team, but I'm in on that. You can get me on why not on that.
Okay.
That was easy. Any negative thing about the Sixers, you know I'll go why not.
I was laughing a little bit because we talked yesterday about how there were reports that he had been ramping up his conditioning and, like, 4 minutes into that game, boy, did he look tired. So we're going to continue the ramp up.
It's the narrative out there. People believe him. It's remarkable. Nobody ever says, are you ever going to get in shape? Everybody just says, well, he ramped up. Like, they believe it. Like, they're such a like suckers. It's unbelievable.
Hey, he did some good things, okay? We're not just the Joel Embiid bashing show. He's a great player. Defending MVP. Let's go back to the NFL, though. The Carolina Panthers, Michael, are a 9-1 shot to make the playoffs. Could this team exceed expectations in the NFC South and make the postseason?
You know, it's happened before, right? And they're not as bad as they were. The team has changed. At 9-1, I probably would pass. But I mean, you've got to figure one of these teams are going to be the why not team. And the South, I don't think anybody has taken over the South, even though the Kirk Cousins has arrived in Atlanta. You know, I'm not sure that anything has occurred in the NFC South to make me think that it isn't back and forth, considering that Atlanta lost to them last year 3-0 in Carolina. So, you know, I would typically stay away from this, but this could fit under the why not. Again, when I say why not here, it's pizza money. It's a dollar or two. That's it.
And Michael, also, I don't know about you. I don't anticipate two teams getting out of the South you're looking for more bang for your buck and you do say why not, probably just take the 15-1 to win the division instead of the 9-1 to make the playoffs. That would be a little bit of a better way to approach that,
smart,
I think.
Girl. Yep. Smart.
Back to college hoops. Everybody loves DJ Burns, the big man for the NC State Wolfpack. He is sixth on the odds board. The top player from a non-favored team this week to win most outstanding player, 20-1. Could you say why not to NC State getting through and the big man leading the way in the title tilt?
Well, I think if you're saying why not to this, you're basically saying that NC State's going to be the final, going to be the champion, because it's the only way he wins it, right? Mm-hmm. And I can't say that, so you're not getting me to say why not. It would take that effort. Could they beat two of the best big men in the country two games in a row? I don't think so. They got to beat Zach Mann there, you know, and then they got to come back and beat Klingman. I don't know if they can do that.
We had some interesting news from the Buffalo Bills today that Stephon Diggs is on his way out to the Houston Texans. A lot of cap money that is going to be dead now, $31 million, in fact, from Diggs. You also look at all of the different guys that they have offloaded on their roster this offseason. Could be a rough year potentially for Buffalo, considering where they sit. They are still the favorite in the AFC East. Could you say why not on a no price plus 175 for the Buffalo Bills to miss the playoffs?
I could say why not to that. And here's why. I don't think it would happen if Allen stays healthy. But we saw last year, you know, they struggled. They're an older team. And if he misses any games, and I've said this, the difference between them and New England is the quarterback. Like, this isn't the most talented roster in the league, and it's gotten less talent. They've lost 17 players. So I could easily say why not to that. Now, what would lose that bet is if Allen was healthy for the whole season.
With Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis both on their way out, Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir, the top wideouts in that room right now. When we go to the NFL draft coming up later on this month, we're lots of talk about these top four, five quarterbacks. But how about Bo Nix, Michael? Could he leapfrog some folks, make his way into the top 10, 5-1, bet 100, win 500 on Bo Nix?
No, it's not good enough odds. You can't get me why not on that. I don't think that'll happen. I think, could he go at 12? Maybe. Could he go 15? Maybe. You know, I think Michael Penix is getting a little bit more action and love in the last week or so because he can throw it up the field. I think Bo Nix is team specific. I just don't see it being in the top 10.
How about total quarterbacks in the first round under 4.5 at plus 175? Is there any world that this still stays under, given all of the hype around this class?
Well, what you're simply saying is you're saying that Nix, Penix will not go in the first round. That's what you're saying. If you're betting the under there, because you know McCarthy, as you talked about in your Stormfront rant that was awesome today, that we know McCarthy's loved, we know Daniels is going, we know Drake May's loved, and we know Caleb Williams is going. So we know four are going. So the question is the fifth one? Now, could May slip? I mean, if you watch his workout, it wasn't great. But there's a lot to like about May. But I think, to me, that's what you're saying, and I couldn't say that. I think Penix is worthy, you know, and the Raiders are bringing Penix in for a workout, although don't read much into that. But if you're the Raiders, he fits what they've always believed in. I could see Mark Davis, the owner, saying, my dad would like Penix, and we could make this guy a down-the-field thrower.
From the outside looking in, it seems like a lot of the opinions are Michael Penix to the Raiders makes a lot of sense. Bo Nix at 12 that you referenced to the Broncos makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, I think there will for sure be I feel like there's going to be five. I wouldn't waste my money on this plus money market anymore. My tune has changed on this over the last month. Let me hit you with one more here. Caitlin Clark, Michael, we've talked about the hysteria. Everybody loves this girl so much. She's coming off a masterful performance to punch their ticket to the Final Four. Could she have a triple-double against UConn? Plus 450, the price.
Triple-double. Oh, boy.
That means you need the rebounds to get there.
I would say why not to her. And anything she does, I think it's not likely she doesn't rebound enough, but I would say why not to pretty much anything she does. She's so good, I can't imagine she wouldn't do that, right? I think that's clearly the case. So I would say why not to that.
You know the points will get there no problem. The assists get to double digits consistently. But can she get the boards? I just don't know. But at that price, why not? Have some fun. Have some fun betting on these games a little bit.
Why not, Stormy?
That's
absolutely
what I'm saying. And that's the purpose of this segment, Michael. It's could it make you say why not? And we had a lot of them today. I'm pretty impressed with ourselves here.
We did good, yeah, and you got me on some. I mean, look, there are some that I think it's a really good exercise to understand what's the upside to the downside and what you're willing to risk. Because you got to weigh both. It isn't just you can't just look, do I want to do it or not? You got to see what the odds are and what the investment needs to be.
Michael, the next time we see you, you're going to be a very tan man coming back from vacation.
I hope so. I hope so. I'm looking forward to it. The Bahamas we go, Stormy.
Absolutely. Enjoy it. Travel safe. We'll miss you. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Stick around. Patrick Maher and Sharp Money coming up on VSiN, and more great content on DraftKings Network next.